Welcome to The Mortgage Life, a space for down-to-earth conversations about how mortgages contribute to your life.
Well, that sounds canned and maybe a little boring.
What? There are so many parts to the mortgage industry and real estate finance we can explore and share with our listeners.
Okay, you're right. You're right, Mindy. Our goal is to help secure our clients' financial future.
I'm Pete Solomosi.
I'm Mindy Bodwin.
And I'm Sue Solomosi. We're your hosts. Welcome to The Mortgage Life. Today, we're interrupting our normal, regular podcast programming for a special feature episode on fire safety.
Fire safety and also kind of anything safety. We're really specifically talking about fires, but you could apply a lot of these principles to anything, any disasters that might come, which is like floods or, I guess, hurricanes.
Yeah, those hurricanes, they're Canada endemic. Yep. But you never know if things keep going the way they are.
Exactly.
Yeah. And one of the notes that I made is like insurance really varies depending on where you are in the world, right? Like what kind of natural disaster are you susceptible to? And then how can we protect against it?
Right.
Yeah. So here on the island, I'm not focused so much on fires. I'm thinking more earthquake, but it's becoming clear that this fire smoke season is something that's going to be happening in British Columbia. Mm-hmm. And as trusted advisors, it's our duty, I believe, to provide pertinent information, because I can't imagine in the state of emergency, you know, logical thought kind of goes out the window. Your focus becomes just saving the bare essentials. You're not thinking, oh, geez, you know, I should have done this, this, and this. So yeah. We just thought we'd take a moment, refocus, and get back to things that we can do to help in these situations.
And I should say that what we're giving you is a whole bunch of information that we think is really valuable, and it's really informational only. So make sure you check with your insurance agent. Make sure you check with your mortgage company. Always make sure that what your situation is actually confirmed through those sources. So that's my little caveat.
Yeah. So why don't we start? So we kind of made some notes and we started talking about what's the term is fire smarting your home. Is that that's a verb now, how to fire smart. And so really, what should we be doing before fire season starts?
Yeah. So just looking at, you know, your house, your neighborhood, the surrounding area, even looking at current images of neighborhoods from some of the fires we've seen, you can see that there'll be one or two structures that are still standing and everything else is burned. So what's the difference there? What have those people done differently? So there's an immediate zone. So you look out your window, what do you first see? This is sort of the area that's right next to your house. Number one, maintain your roof and soffits. Obviously, if you have cedar shingles, those are going to be a higher fire risk than something like asphalt shingles, something to think about in the Okanagan. The soffits, you don't want them to accumulate with pine needles, for example. Pine needles are very flammable. So keep your roof clear of debris, your soffits clear of debris, and your gutters. Sorry, soffits, gutters. I think of those two things in the same.
Right. Well, and the soffit part is like the little ventilation part. So sometimes people's soffits will be on the edge of the house, kind of vertical facing. And so keeping that clear of debris, sometimes even putting a mesh on there, the fire smart people say to put a mesh on there to avoid having burning embers come into your attic. So that's kind of the soffit part. And other soffits are kind of underneath the roof.
And we're talking about soffits because anything stuck inside the soffits can catch on fire.
Right.
And if there's one thing we've learned, fires can jump lakes. So if they can jump a lake, they can jump a street. Mm-hmm. And this is all because of those burning embers. So very important to keep that part of your house clear of debris. And same with items just touching your house, under your deck, just clear it out. Anything that looks flammable, clear it out.
That's the immediate zone. Clear the immediate zone in preparing for fire season.
If you want to see a really good example of this, there is a great image or article online. If you just type Miracle House in Lahaina, because there was a very big fire that went through Lahaina, you'll see that this Miracle House has actually nothing near it.
There's a car parked out front.
Yeah.
A fireproof car, obviously.
So I almost got mixed up between these two words. We've got the immediate zone and then we have the intermediate zone. Immediate, intermediate. What's outside of the immediate zone?
So I guess the intermediate zone would then be, well, it says 5 to 15 feet from your house. Again, depending on how large your property is. For example, up at Silver Star, our property has a slope before below the house, and that was very forested, and there was 3 dead standing trees. So one of the first things that we did when we became owners was clear out the dead standing and basically take out one out of every 5 or 6 trees. So they're not all clumped together, kind of spaced out. So that's a fire smarting move. Or you could take it one step further and just get rid of those flammable plants and plant fire resistant plants or short grass, stuff that can be watered, that kind of idea, or even rock. I mean, let's be honest, rock's not very flammable.
No. Not very flammable. It'd have to be real hot, I think. It's a good point, though. Using bark or bark mulch, which we have around our property, but it's a little further away. Yeah. I mean, it's good. Bark mulch is good for retaining that moisture in the ground for your plants. But I guess flammable as well, if it's on the list of things to move away from your house.
Keep flammable things away.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, we've kind of talked about the close part of the house, be a little bit farther away from the house, then make sure that you do have working smoke detectors. This is really kind of a preventative thing for smaller fires that may occur in your house. And to go along with that, you should probably also keep at least one fire extinguisher around the house, if not a couple, just in case.
And the modern building code, we discovered this when we built our house a few years ago, actually requires an integrated fire alarm system in residences now. So sort of gone are the days where you have that one smoke detector that is annoying and goes off when you're cooking something and you burn the roast and you take it down and pull out the batteries and you're good to go. Now the fire alarm systems are integrated with several alarms placed throughout the house. And if one goes off, they all go off. Not as easy when you're burning the roast, but definitely more safe.
I know we had an issue, and Pete, you can tell me about this because I don't really fully understand what the issue was. Maybe just dead batteries where the fire alarms would just chirp every once in a while, even when there wasn't a fire.
Yes. Yeah. The smoke detectors and these fire alarms, they do have a certain shelf life. So even if they are hardwired, they will at some point in... They usually say 10 years.
At 3 in the morning.
Yeah. My history has shown that it doesn't get to 10 years, but like somewhere in the kind of 3 to 6 year range, these things will start to go. And like Mindy says, they will start to chirp at 3 in the morning, just in time.
Right when you've had a baby too. It's, yeah, it's really, really good times.
Very typical.
But your comment about fire extinguishers, Pete, we were just having a conversation with our kids the other day about how the stuff that's inside of the fire extinguishers is different from the fire retardant that helicopters will throw on the ground.
Right. Yeah. And I think the extinguishers, they could be a kind of a powdery stuff and they can be a foamy thing. But I think the stuff that they use in these big fires are... I think they're more of a powdery thing, but that's a different chemical. Anyway.
Yeah, it's like it's a chemical and it's red because I remember driving on Highway 1 after they had just dumped a bunch of this and it's just like this big red soup that, yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about what to do to prevent your house from catching on fire. We don't always know that it will work, but these are things that are very good preventative measures. So let's move on to home insurance, because the next step is making sure that what you have is insured.
So the question then is, when was the last time you checked on the replacement cost of your home? The last time you checked your insurance policy to make sure that the lender has been updated, and it will be because that would happen through the lawyer's office when you register your mortgage. But also that your replacement cost is accurate. Have you done renovations recently? Have you upgraded your home? You got to take these things into account so you're covered.
Especially the past couple of years, the costs of construction have grown exponentially. So if you got your policy 3 or 4 years ago, you do need to increase your replacement cost.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, and if you've had your house for a long period of time and you haven't done a refinance or you haven't put a new mortgage on there at all, you may just be simply renewing your insurance policy and you may not have actually looked at the values. But like Mindy says, the replacement cost, that stuff has really grown over the last little bit.
So I had to go back and look. It was episode 12 that we had my good friend Nicola Dent on talking about insurance. We wanted to get her back for this emergency podcast today. However, she is a little busy.
Can't imagine why.
Can't imagine why. It's fire season. There's fires everywhere. And she is working with a lot of people who are putting in claims, who are, I don't know, I'm making assumptions, but I know she's very busy right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, even trying to find insurance policies for people who are currently purchasing homes or refinancing. We had this happen a couple of years ago, which is why we had Nicola as one of our first guests on our podcast, because the home insurance part is critical, especially if there is a loss. You know, you don't want to be left with a policy that doesn't include overland fire. You know, these are important questions to ask your insurance broker.
Right. And so we talked a little bit about the value of the structure. So make sure that your insurance agent knows that your structure may be worth more than it was in the past, but there's a whole bunch of different values that you'll actually see on that insurance policy. So one of them is the home. Another might be detached structures. So if you have a shed or a barn or something like that, that could also be valued. Another is your personal property. So make sure you have a good sense of what kind of things you have. So bicycles and all the other various things, dishes and clothes and stuff. You might also be valuing the living expenses if you have to be out of your home. As well, if you have a business, like a home-based business in your house, you might have a business interruption as part of that as well. So make sure all of those values are accurate.
All right. So you've cleared the debris around from outside of your house. You've updated your fire insurance. All of these things are in place. Now you're packing your bag because you've been put on evacuation alert. So what happens? This is when our brains shut down and we go into auto mode. It's scary.
No, but it's true. You're like, what do I do? Where do I put my stuff? Like all of a sudden it's like, oh, I guess I can fit four bins in my vehicle. What goes in those four bins?
Right. And what's important enough? What's not important enough?
And what, you know, what can you live with and live without?
Do I take grandma's silverware set?
Which brings up one quick point too, is to do the quick video. You know, if you're in one of these high risk fire areas, it's probably a good idea to grab your phone, do a quick video of all of these valuable items so that when it does come time, if there is a loss, you can show your insurance company that you did in fact have these. Because again, if there is something like an overland fire, you're not going to be the only one that's going to be submitting this claim. And I can imagine the insurance companies would just get absolutely bogged down. I think so the more precise the information is that you have, probably I'm assuming, the more precise and quick your turnaround on your claim would be, maybe.
Yeah.
You keep saying overland fire. I'm wondering if that's an insurance term. Cause like, is there a chance the fire could be underland?
Well, not underland, but it's just like, it's not like I forgot to blow out a candle and it started a fire in my home. Yeah. An overland fire is like a forest fire, but I don't want to say forest. Cause like, think about Lahaina, where was the forest? So in my head, it meant like more overland. But anyways, I don't know. Maybe there's a difference. Maybe there's not. This is something we can have Nicola on again sometime in the future.
And she can advise us. Okay, so we've cleared debris. We're ready with insurance. We're ready for the worst. What happens when the worst happens? What do we do? I mean, that's devastating, number one. And we know a number of people have lost their homes this year.
Yeah. So one of the important things to kind of have, and we talked a little bit about being prepared, is having knowledge of where some of the critical things are. So some people will refer to this as a go bag, might be referred to as a stay bag. It's like a bag with various things. So I kind of break it down into two parts. The first part is documentation. So that's going to include things like your passport, birth certificates, immigration papers, and wills or other legal documents, potentially even your insurance policies. And then as well, I kind of lump this into documents as well, but like computers and storage devices. So if you've got computers that you do regular work on, perhaps your photos are stored on those, make sure that you keep those kind of in a spot that you know where they are and you know how to get them quickly and into a bin.
Okay. What happens when the worst happens? if your house burns down, you have your go bag. It's full of all these things, these important documents and important mementos from your house, but your house is burned down. What do you do?
What do you do?
Cry a little.
Cry a little. Contact your insurance company. Contact your lender. You need to notify them right away. Once you've made an insurance claim, your lender needs to know. And quite often your lender will have a customer service department who will be able to assist you with what happens with your mortgage, whether or not there's going to be assistance for your mortgage, because that the loan doesn't go away. And it, depending on your insurance coverage, it may or may not be paid out.
Yeah, I think most lenders like to be the first loss payee, but perhaps that's not always the case, especially if there's the first mortgage, second mortgage type scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another good point here that, like Sue said, just because the house is gone, unfortunately, doesn't mean the mortgage is gone, which also unfortunately means you will most likely have to continue making payments unless some other arrangements have been made. Until again, that claim or loss is finalized.
And sometimes you might check with either your insurance policy or your mortgage lender, because one of those two may have a provision in there for covering payments for a certain period. So check with those two, because you just want to make sure that if there is an option to have those things either deferred or perhaps it's covered by the insurance, that that you take advantage of that.
So ultimately, the location of your property and your property type will dictate the type of insurance that you need. It's what's going to be common for your area. We kind of started out by saying this in the Okanagan. Clearly, the fire season is becoming a new norm, unfortunately. So the fire insurance here in Victoria, not so much, but the earthquake coverage. But any one of these sort of external natural disasters, this episode is applicable to.
And unfortunately, that's something that it's worldwide. Natural disasters happen everywhere. I do want to take a second, and maybe we can finish the episode this way. I want to give thanks and gratitude to the firefighters and the helicopter pilots and everyone that's in the Okanagan right now and up in the Northwest Territories, all over Canada where there's fires blazing. There's a lot of dedicated and compassionate and incredible individuals who are fighting to save our communities.
They're working 24-hour shifts without a break.
Yeah. So I'm sending all of my positive energy out, I don't know, into the universe. That's all we can do.
Yeah. Gratitude. Thank you.
This is The Mortgage Life.
We look forward to continuing the conversation.
So come back and listen.